Wishing to left you, but now the dope beat. Step two, step two, step two, step two, step, step two, step two. Think it, it's been a long time. Wishing to left you, but now the dope beat. Step two, step two, step two, step two, step two. Oh yeah,
Buongiorno.
Yes,
indeedy.
Contestant layups. Holy moly, it's been a long time.
Holy moly, indeed, Ed.
Holy guacamole.
Sucker.
What's up, everybody? This is Eddie. Yo. Who else we got here tonight?
Yo, it's Raul. Chicago Bulls all day, let's go.
Oh, there he goes.
It's your boy Gar in the house making a podcast for the first time in about 7 months. Let's go.
Yep. I think our last podcast had to be early March, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Something like that.
Holy crap. Dang, and now it's
September. Holy crapola.
And the NBA season's still going on, so that's why we can do it.
The basketball season has returned.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on Contested Layups. Remember, you can find us on Instagram, iTunes, Facebook, Google Play, what the hell.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know if you can find us anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of those places now. But.
Yeah.
This could be like a private podcast for Eddie's private collection.
Yes, my private collection.
Do you remember how to post this shit or what?
Raul actually doesn't know.
Oh, okay, fine.
So. I think I kind of remember. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, cool.
We'll play it by ear.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I am doing this podcast with a mask on. So,
dude, future, weird, man. Future.
It sounds weird. That, you know, sorry.
Molly Percocet.
But yeah, this is a weird time we're living in a fucking pandemic.
Whoa.
I swore. But yeah.
Definitely staying in the private collection.
Yeah. So we're here and how you guys doing? Everything all right, man?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's been a glorious couple of days. It's been a glorious couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as my final thought, for all you sports bettors out there, I will offer my picks.
Oh my goodness.
For tomorrow's Boston and Miami game.
What a twist.
Stick with me, kids. You'll make some money.
Raul's been on a little roll here recently, so yeah.
He
bet tonight. What was your bet? Nikola Jokic would have the first basket tonight.
Yeah, first field goal of the game.
And he won $80. Yep. There you go, man. That's how you do it.
I love how you bet on OT in every single game. Like these
the odds are great.
Odds are with me.
Yeah, the odds are great for that, man. I'd bet it too. That's crazy. All right. So yeah, the NBA season's still going on. Obviously,
so, yeah,
we're in the bubble now, and the game 4 of the Western Conference Finals just happened. Just ended. The Lakers beat the Nuggets 114-108. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know.
Wait,
there's a lot of things that have happened. I don't know. Who's the home team? I have no idea.
I don't know.
So, a lot of things obviously have happened since our last podcast. We're not going to review everything. We're not going to review, you know.
Can we do like a montage? Like, how fast can you talk, Ed?
Okay.
Let's go for it.
What am I talking about, though?
Everything that happened.
All right. There was Rudy Gobert got kicked out of the game, or the game ended because he had COVID. And all then,
right, never mind.
And then,
this is a disaster. But we've had basketball now since
late
July.
July 30th was the first game.
Yeah, we've had basketball now for July, and it's not as bad as I kind of thought it was going to be. Honestly, I think the NBA did the best job of continuing things.
Yeah,
for real. You hear about the MLB and they got like all these, this whole team can't even play. And then like the NFL's kind of, I mean, it just started, but it's okay. But like the NBA like really went all out and got a bubble. Like
NHL got a bubble.
Yeah.
NHL's pretty decent too, I would say.
Yeah.
Locally, it was exciting to have like the Hawks actually be in the playoffs of some type.
Yep, and they played meaningful games. That was cool.
Yeah, but I kind of tuned it out after they were done, I guess.
Yeah, me too. I haven't paid attention to hockey at all. But the NBA has been pretty cool with the bubble.
For the most part, it's been pretty normal, and it's like been the same thing ever since the season started. It's been obviously when it started, it was like some games were pretty bad, and then. Some games you really got to have a good game to watch. So I mean, I think that's the case with the regular season anyway. I mean, when it was just
When it was normal. Where there was no bubble, yeah.
I got to say, like, 2.5 weeks in, 3 weeks in, I could have sworn that, like, Portland was going to win the whole thing. Like, they were looking mighty good. But then, obviously, that fizzled.
Yeah.
They got injured, though. You never know.
Dame got injured, yeah, and they just kind of got gassed, if you will, with Portland. But whatever. You know, I think the NBA bubble is probably proving the truest champion.
I can see that.
Probably maybe ever, even. Where you know, home court's not a thing, travel's not a thing, it doesn't matter. Everyone's in the same place. You're playing every other day, there's no day off, like, you know. Or, like, you know, there's no extended time off. I mean, obviously, teams that sweep, yeah, they'll get extended time off, but that's how it should be. But, yeah, I think that's kind of what's happening here. So, Lakers up 3-1, which is bad news for the Lakers because the Nuggets have come back from 3-1 the first two series.
Not necessarily. And then, I don't think it's bad news for them.
And then the Heat and the Celtics, Heat are up 3-1 on the Celtics. So, we could have NBA Finals Heat-Lakers. In 2 days.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think for the most part, our pod pretty much predicted that outcome. Lakers. I mean, I was very heavily on the Lakers.
Yeah, you were.
V was pretty heavy on the Lakers, too. But I think for the most part, most of us agreed that the Heat would be a legit dark horse before the bubble even started.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a dark horse and someone who's basically in the finals already.
Yeah.
No, not a favorite, but they've surpassed anyone's expectations already.
I think the bubble helped them out the most in terms of the NBA stoppage helped the Heat out the most easily.
How so?
They were not very good before when they made the trade for Iguodala and Crowder. They were obviously learning each other. The bubble just allowed them to get that time. I mean, obviously they weren't together at all, but they didn't have to worry about, like, if Miami, from where they were at the end of the regular season, kept losing like they were, which I think in, like, their last 25 games, they were below 500 before the regular season ended. And if they kept losing, then they say they dropped to a 6 or 7 seed or something like that instead of a 5 seed, and they play the Pacers. They're a 7 seed, and they play Toronto or something. You know, they might not even be here. Depends. It depends, man.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends. That extra time really gave them a lot of time to bond and also relax. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that really helped a lot with their young talent, such as Tyler Hero. You know, he really got a chance to bond with his teammates and also just had a chance to kind of decompress and everything and take a step back.
Like a spa day.
Yeah, from the NBA season. You know, like, you come into the league as, like, a rookie, and there's expectations, and now that you start winning games, like, there's a lot of pressure on there. And also, he was kind of coming off the bench.
Well, he still is.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming off the bench. He still is, but he really had a chance to grow his confidence, you know, with the team, and they just trust him a lot more now.
The game last night pissed me off because it... made him for next year for fantasy basketball. Made him a really people are going to really look at him.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Great story.
Because you know I was going to steal him.
You know what pissed me off about that game?
What? The Heat won.
No. I wanted the Heat to win, but Tatum was not a factor in the first half at all.
He had 0 points, right?
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. Like,
yep.
Kind of embarrassing almost.
Yeah, for a guy
of
his caliber.
Back, he had 28 points in the second half.
Yeah.
So that's not bad at all. But he can't disappear for a whole half in the playoffs.
You can if you're... I remember Steph Curry did that last year against the Rockets. He had 0 points in the first half and he had 35 in the second half. But still, it's kind of... It matters, I guess.
I don't know if you can compare the two, though. I mean, pedigree-wise.
For now.
Here's the thing, though. With that game, I think the real reason why the Celtics lost was because... just their energy wasn't right throughout the whole game. They weren't really playing like... This was a huge game for both teams yesterday.
Yeah.
A momentum shifting game. You know, you go... If you win this game, and if you're Boston, you go up 2-2, and in your mind, you say, all right, well, it's completely even. We're completely even now. Whether, you know, versus going down 3-1, and it's pretty much... It's a wrap. you know, for in Miami's mind. And I don't think they're going to think that it's a wrap because they still have to close him out. And Miami hasn't had the easiest time trying to close out series, even though they did with Milwaukee. But that was still a battle, even without Giannis, you know. So I think if they just played with a little bit more a more sense of urgency from the get-go, I think they would have been in a lot better position to win the game. I didn't really see the sense of urgency until really the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
The third quarter, yeah, Tatum started getting hot, and they started letting Tatum getting Tatum a lot more shots, a lot more easy looks. They started breaking down the zone that Miami is really great at playing and on defense. And they just wanted getting Tatum a lot of easy buckets, you know, 15-footers, a lot of just easy layups, too. You saw him the first half, he was shooting like a lot of threes, a lot of just weird jumpers, too. So I think he needs to be aggressive right away out of the bat and attack the basket right away. That whole team needs to be on the same page of, we need to keep attacking this zone that Miami has, and we need to keep attacking the basket, because you look at that starting squad on Boston, and now you have Hayward back. So now you have Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and you even have Marcus Smart, who's playing at an unbelievable level right now.
Yep.
And you have the firepower to do it. You just have to keep pushing. Like, you have to just keep going for it as aggressive and as fast as you can. And hopefully that will kind of get Miami off their game a little bit. But if you keep standing behind the perimeter like how they're doing and just taking a bunch of threes, that allows Miami to really... That plays into Miami's defense, like, a lot and easily, because they have a chance to set their guys up. They have a chance to set their defense. And when you have talented defenders like Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder guarding the perimeter, that's going to make it really hard for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to start hitting these miracle threes, which they have been hitting, you know?
Yeah,
at times.
Yeah, and so I think they need to attack the basket more, attack the – use it to their advantage that they're gifted scorers and that they can get easy buckets, you know? And because there's really only one super talented defender on Miami – in the starting five, and that's Bam Adebayo, and he has to cover so much ground if they get in that little within 15 feet. So you're asking pretty much Bam Adebayo to cover all of inside of 15 feet, and that's going to be able to get them a lot more easy shots, I think.
Okay, let's talk about Miami a little bit in the sense that this, I think, Miami team is set up well for the future, and obviously the present right now. I think there's a lot of similarities in Miami to a young Golden State team, but their best players are not their shooters. I think there's a difference that they have two great shooters in Harrow and Duncan Robinson, and then they have a athletic Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo, but then they just have that extra score in Jimmy Butler. It's kind of like Jimmy's there, Harrison Barnes, but he can score better. And, I'd want to know what you guys thought about that. And Iguodala's on the team. About to make his six straight finals appearance, by the way.
That's pretty impressive. I did not know that.
That's crazy. Yep.
Yeah, don't forget Dragic, by the way.
I wasn't forgetting Dragic. No, I know. But, I mean, it was just...
I was just comparing,
though, how, like, these teams are very similar in a sense.
I can see where you're going with this. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I'm not willing to to argue you over this point. I think this team is built in a very unique way that we haven't seen in a long time, if ever. Very good scouting is really their key so far.
And skill development, I think, too.
Definitely, that as well. But in order to do that, you need talent to begin with.
Yeah.
And they were able to find talent off the street or in the second round. And consistently too. I don't know if there's any other team in the league outside of possibly Denver that's done as good a job at scouting as Miami has over the last 3-4 years.
And it's crazy that both these teams are in the conference finals.
No. That's not a coincidence, obviously.
Right. Yep.
But it's not a method that's been tried recently.
Right. It's mostly been try to get
super teams.
Super teams, and then get a bunch of veterans around.
Free agents, super yep. teams, collusion, whatever you want to call it. That's how it's been. That's how NBA has approached winning championships for the past 15 years, you can say.
Right.
Basically, I mean, the original Celtics team, the 07, 08 Celtics.
You could even say the Lakers. And not the 04 team, for sure, where they got Malone and Payton.
Malone and, okay.
Yep. They tried to assemble that. I mean,
but that failed.
No, I know, but their goal was to have an overabundance of talent. And a lot with a lot of veterans and around Shaq and Kobe.
I guess I make a distinction between bringing in two veterans that are definitely over their hill in a sense that they're past their prime. Not, I shouldn't have said over the hill. Past their prime.
Okay.
In both cases. But your core was still the two best players you had before that.
True.
So I don't think you can call that a super team. But I guess it's up to you what you want to consider a super team.
In name, it was probably considered a super team.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying is that in the past 15 years, that's what a lot of franchises have tried to go to. And it's been kind of successful with the Heat winning titles and the Warriors kind of winning titles, although the Warriors were more organic until they brought Durant over. But but the counter argument is the Mavs won a title, the Spurs have won a couple titles, the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors brought Kawhi, but they were not super teams by any chance, by any means.
Yeah, but I guess Toronto doesn't come because it literally just happened. So obviously the shift happened in the last 3-4 years, like I said, before.
Yeah.
And the Mavs were built slightly differently from what these teams are built.
Yeah. But they still went up against a super team and then they beat them.
Okay.
So the Spurs too.
Agree to disagree.
I could see the comparisons to Golden State a little bit, but I think it's a lot different in the sense of, Golden State obviously had Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson are one of the best shooters ever.
Well, that's what I said though, is that Miami still has those two amazing shooters, just like Golden State does.
I mean,
but it's not their two best players. But you have a better scoring option as your all facilitating player like Draymond Green. Yeah. Bam Adebayo, he can score a lot better than Draymond can. And then
don't
Jimmy Butler
just yet, please.
He can though. He can. He can get baskets much easier than Green. Green is a terrible shooter.
He's got how many rings? Four.
No, I know. But I'm just saying though, just a player by player comparison. And then you compare Harrison Barnes to Jimmy Butler. I think Butler's been it's been proven Butler's a better scorer than Barnes is.
It has been proven.
Yeah. And so it's not like Golden State, but it's a similar formula.
Yeah, I mean, but I think what makes this team truly special is, I mean, I know it's super early, but it's Tyler Hero.
He's the difference maker. I'd say Dragic playing at his career best right now is probably, that's what makes him go.
Dragic just had a very nice career.
I'm talking about what makes them special. Like you have this kid, Tyler Hero, who, I mean, Duncan Robinson's the best shooter on that team, for sure. But Tyler Hero, not only can you rely on him to hit threes just as much, if not more, in big time situations than Duncan Robinson. Man, in this playoffs, you've definitely relied on him to hit those big shots in important times than even Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And there's that aspect of it, of just hitting those big threes and getting open, getting around those screens and getting those open looks and good looks, like super good looks at those three pointers. Then he's also very good at penetrating inside and driving in, and he's very creative with the ball. He's a good ball handler, and the thing that's kind of set him over the edge is that you have that extra playmaker. He's actually been running the point for a lot of these games, for most of these games. Dragic has been kind of the playmaker, and so has Jimmy Butler. But for a lot of the games, and for you know, the actual game that they're playing, they usually have Tyler Herro initiate the offense, and he's looking to create shots for his teammates, and he's very good at passing. Some of these passes are just crazy.
Mamma mia.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the stuff that he's pulling off is crazy.
Considering that he's a rookie, too, that I think is what makes him special. You're right.
He, for me, personally, I think he could be a better Bogdanovich. This Bogdanovich from Sacramento.
I don't think. I think it's a bad comparison. I think he's...
Boris Bogdanovich?
Yes, Boris.
He's going to be... He's their future. He's their franchise guy. Like, in 2 years. Like,
I mean, between him and Bam, pretty good, like 22-year-olds.
Just comparing the skill set, you know...
Like, players under 24.
When De'Aaron Fox was out for Sacramento, Bogdanovich kind of did the same thing, and he was... You know, scoring-wise, playmaking-wise, you know, just they were just relying on him to make those big plays. And the fact that you see Tyler Herro right now doing those same exact things on the biggest stage.
Right.
In his first year. and it's just... And you only have so long to connect with your team and create that chemistry. And the fact that he just has that awareness and just has it already... That is super scary, and I think he could be an extremely special player, and I think he's what makes them special right now, is that, the Miami Heat definitely feed off of Jimmy Butler, and I privately we had a conversation about the MVP,
It was a private conversation.
I mentioned Jimmy Butler. I said I was fighting for Jimmy Butler.
A public conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he gave them an identity, and this team wouldn't be there without Jimmy Butler, but... I think a lot of their success in this series, for sure, but in the playoffs too, is owed to their rookie, Tyler Herro.
All right. Well, let's talk about the game that happened tonight, Nuggets and Lakers. Let's completely switch it up. I like the transition. Pretty good, huh?
Smooth.
No,
like,
Nuggets.
Like Tennessee whiskey.
Yep. Yeah. Nuggets are down 3-1. Lakers winning 114-108. Lakers got ahead by 7 in the first quarter, and it was... pretty much just a back and forth game where the Nuggets never really, they didn't tie it, I don't think, at any point. And
no, I think they came within 3 or 4.
I think they came within 3. 2 a couple times, but yeah, they never tied the game, and Lakers just take a stranglehold on the series up 3-1, or is it a stranglehold? The Nuggets coming back. From 3-1, the last two series against Jazz and the Clippers. What do you guys think, man? Is it done? The Lakers going to the finals, or the Nuggets have them right where they want them?
You go first.
I'll go.
Okay.
No, it's done. It's not going to go 7. I'll tell you that much. Maybe the Nuggets might win the next game, maybe, but I really don't see it. Again, LeBron was kind of the last game in this game. He was pretty bad in the second half. But the Lakers are just a whole different beast than what the Nuggets can handle right now.
Yeah, I think he was 34 points tonight, 10 shooting.
And I give the Nuggets a ton of credit, and believe me, like. I am rooting for the Nuggets, too, because I would love to see that. I would love to see a team like the Nuggets and the Heat, and even both of those teams in the finals, because that would just say so much about basketball in general, you know? But the Nuggets, I think, just don't have enough.
Jokic got in foul trouble tonight.
But Jokic
played 36 minutes, only 16 points.
But here's the thing, though. Yeah. Jokic has been in foul trouble every single game so far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, well, first game one, you know, they're coming off of a high. Jokic is feeling like he can dominate anybody, and he should feel that way. But to be honest, other than the Utah series, he never really had to play against this kind of size before. And he had Gobert on him, and that's why they took him to 7, as Gobert is very, obviously, 2-time defensive player of the year. But, you put Dwight Howard on there, and it kind of just shook him up a little bit. He wasn't really expecting, wasn't really expecting that. I don't think he was expecting to be so rattled by the size of Dwight and Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee, even though Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis have been doing most of the dirty work. JaVale's kind of been kind of for clean, kind
yeah,
of clean
up crew. McGee 5 minutes tonight.
And man, the Lakers are just so good at getting shots off before Denver sets any kind of defense.
Yeah, that's Rajon Rondo.
Yeah,
completely.
And it's Rondo and his playmaking, you know, and then you
playoff also, Rondo, baby.
Playoff Rondo. Adding playoff Rondo is just complete game changer. This is why you have playoff Rondo. This is why you have Rondo on the team. Everybody looks at Rondo probably, he's probably got nothing left. He's too old, whatever, you know. But
I mean, saving it all for the playoffs.
But that's what he's for, you know. He's that elite playmaker. People forget, dude. Rondo was a top 5 point guard in the league.
Yep.
For a while.
8 years ago, man. To be fair,
still,
8 years ago.
You don't lose that IQ. You don't lose that intelligence.
Yeah,
like, you still know how to ball. You still know how to make the right plays, and that's really tricky too. Because, you know, in each of the series that the Nuggets had thus far, they didn't have that. They didn't have to defend against that kind of crafty point guard like Rondo. You know, like.
Not yeah.
You know who he reminds me of now more than ever before? Playoff Jason Kidd with the Mavs.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think there's a lot of parallels to be made there.
Very good comparison.
And perhaps the outcome will be the same too. Although I gotta say, I'm really, really, really rooting for the Nuggets in this one, and they've done it twice before, overcome a 3-1 deficit. But
yep.
this is a Lakers team that was built for the finals.
Yeah,
you can say that they kind of got fortunate because they didn't have to face the Clippers and they're not going to have to face Milwaukee. But then again, Denver still has a puncher's chance. And Miami, you don't have that. Who's the best player on that team that won a ship on that squad?
Why, not Miami?
Right. I don't think any one of them, outside of Udonis, of course. Has a ring.
Iguodala.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They just traded for him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Spoelstra, Pat Riley.
No, yeah. That doesn't count. I'm talking about
doesn't
players.
Doesn't it, though?
But I guess that's a very fair point with Iguodala.
Yeah.
Pretty much why they got him.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say that it is not over. I think it is going 7. I'm not going to say I don't know who's going to win, but I think the Nuggets were counted out for dead 2 series in a row, and I mean,
I'm going to say Lakers in 6 on this one.
Yeah, probably Lakers in 6. I just think that it's a problem. As deep as Denver is, they just don't have... You really need to have Jeremy Grant and Paul Millsap step up. Like, bad. Really bad. And they have. They have.
Grant played 43 minutes tonight.
Yeah, and they need to be able to hit those shots, like, all the time. And the Nuggets are very fortunate that they are hitting those shots, because Jeremy Grant is pretty much just he just shoots threes. He's a 3-and-D kind of guy. He doesn't really attack the basket. He just
he's
far away from the basket. Millsap is super important to them because he is that guy who you can put on Davis. And,
well, but he's got to play more than 17 minutes.
Yeah, and you got to have him be productive.
He's got
to be able to score.
He started tonight and only 17 minutes. That's terrible.
I just want to give, and that's what makes me give Jamal Murray even more credit, because there's so many times that the Lakers defense just shut the Nuggets completely down. And there's so many times that just the Nuggets in general have been shut down completely defensively. Can't get an open shot. Can't get a good look. But Jamal Murray is there to just work his magic. And he'll, the way that he's getting shots off and to be able to do it when he does it is just, you can't discredit how... You have to let it be known how special that is.
No, I know.
He's that special that he can do that for you, because the Nuggets, they really don't have that much offense. They have Jokic and they have Murray, and then hopefully you can get Millsap involved. You could get Jeremy Grant involved. But these other guys, you know, Monte Morris and Torrey Craig, these, you're not going to get much out of them.
You could kind of say
Monte Morris had a decent game.
You kind of say the same thing about the Lakers, too. Without Davis and LeBron, where's offense coming?
Not at all. Because the way that the Lakers get these open shots for their shooters, that's exactly what they were brought in there for. To come off screens, to move without the ball, to be able to shoot it fast and have fast releases so that they don't have time to really get a good contest at it. That's what they were there to do.
Danny Green hit 3 points.
Yeah, but he still spreads the floor.
No, I get it.
Tavius Caldwell-Pope still spreads the floor.
I know.
Kyle Kuzma still gets open looks all the time, and that's what makes them dangerous, because their floor spacing is awesome every possession. Like, unless LeBron is just really holding it, and he's just
kind of... Which happens.
Yeah, which happens all the time, unless he's just holding it, and then he's... just winding down the clock for whatever reason, which happened a lot when they lost this lead. You know, like, that's what these guys are there for, to be able to just space the floor and be able to get open shots. And I know it seems like, hey, these guys don't really do anything, they're not really great scorers, but that's exactly what they're there to do, just shoot threes.
And we understand that, and that's how they've got up 3-1, but... underestimating the Nuggets' resolve, I think, is huge here. I'm not just saying that they came back 3-1 in these past two series, but any other team in the playoffs at all, you lose a game like Game 2 where you're down by 20, you fight back, you get a lead, and then Davis hits that crazy shot, a step back three to win the game. I think every other team in the playoffs is done. Every single other team is done. They don't have the resolve to get back, and the Nuggets won Game 3. They technically dominated. And they almost gave up the lead in the fourth quarter, and they still won that Game 3. I think that speaks volumes on where this team's at. They lost Game 4 tonight. They are not. They don't care.
All right, hot shot. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
So you got? I got Lakers in 7.
I'll take Lakers in 7. I think it's going 7.
Lakers in 6 for me.
They almost lose that game if Murray doesn't hit some incredible shots too.
That was amazing, by the way, what he did today.
Today and last game, he was hitting 30-footers. Multiple 30-footers.
I'm talking about the acrobatic twos, like, from the paint, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Back to back, like, nonstop. Like, fourth quarter, that's all he did.
Yeah, but so then, like, yes, Denver is incredibly resilient, of course. But so are the Lakers. Yeah, like, Jamal Murray... And Jokic and the Nuggets are incredibly resilient, and they can hit those big shots, but so can the Lakers, too. They've shown that they can close out those games and hit those big shots just as much as the Nuggets can.
All right, well...
Lakers in 5, then?
I feel you, though.
All right.
Lakers in 6. Okay. I'll give the Nuggets one more game, because I want to see them play. Like, you know, like, Nuggets have been great.
Yeah.
They've been great for the sport.
They've
played like they deserve a championship.
The Nuggets and the Heat have been great, I think, for the sport, really.
Yeah, sure.
I'd agree. All right, let's transition into a big news.
Yeah, let's get into the meat.
Yeah, let's get into the meat of the episode.
14 minutes later.
For the Chicago Bulls. Oh, yes, our hometown Bulls.
Let's go!
Well, since we last had a podcast, they have made massive moves.
Have they, though?
Yes. Come on.
They finally did it.
Have they?
during quarantine, they got rid of Garpak somehow. And they replaced him with Arnis. How do you say it?
Nice.
Arnis.
Arturis. Well, Arturis Karnisovas.
Carnivore. Heard it here first. Carnivore.
From the Nuggets, by the way. They also signed Mark Eversley as their GM. And then the big news, they replaced Jim Boylan. Not to be confused with former Bulls coach Jim Boylan. With Billy Donovan, Raul's boy.
My freaking boy.
So always a crowd pleaser.
So this is a new
two first names.
New Bulls era here. With Billy Donovan taking over the helm, Bulls he made a choice. The Bulls, I guess, were very aggressive in pursuing him. made a choice to choose the Bulls, signed a 4-year, $24 million contract. Well, to choose the Bulls over other teams.
He chose to choose the Bulls.
What do you guys think, man? Are you excited about this?
For the first time. Since Derrick Rose was traded, I'm excited about a Bulls move of any kind.
Let's go!
Oh my God, it's been so long since they did something that's legit the right thing to do and indisputable. And this is definitely a slam dunk. This is exactly what they needed. And to be fair, like, I didn't see it coming. I don't think he's going to give him a ship or anything like that. I don't think in the long term they're going to go very far with Billy Donovan. But this is exactly what they need right now. I think this is going to last probably 4 or 5 years. They might just Vinny Del Negro him or something like that. But maybe not. I don't know. Billy Donovan? Vinny Del Negro?
Those are two guys that don't even belong in the same conversation.
No, they don't.
Okay, you're right. In that sense, they don't belong in the same conversation. But I think he's a starter coach. I guess that's ultimately what I'm trying to say here.
I don't agree.
Oh, you're killing me.
How so?
He was a coach of the year candidate.
Okay, so was Matt Nagy.
It's football.
Who cares? My point's still valid.
He took a Thunder team that was...
He's a good player. Terrible. No, okay. And got him where?
Like to the five seed in the game seven against the Rockets.
Okay. Is that where you want your Bulls to be in 5 years?
From what they were last year? Absolutely.
In 5 years, that's where you want them.
Okay, well, look at all the turnover that happened in Oklahoma City.
How long do you think this rebuild will continue to last?
It depends on what happens here. It depends on what players fit and how they develop, too.
I guess my fundamental point is, in 5 years, they need to be very competitive.
They will
very
be.
Competitive.
I think they will be.
Five seed won't cut it for me.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But they have...
So we agree. Thanks.
They have pieces... To be competitive in a few years, and I'd say 2 to 3 years, you could see them as a top 5 seed, a top 3 seed even in the East if things break well. If marketing continues to develop, if Wendell Carter shows any semblance of an offensive game, Kobe White can play not Jim Boylan basketball, and same with Zach LaVine. Although LaVine, I think, is only 2 more years left on his contract. And they have the number 4 pick. They got the number 4 pick in the lottery. So they got a top 5 pick in the draft this year. I mean, say if LaMelo Ball drops to him, that'd be cool. So, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about in the Bulls in Chicago.
I'm not saying I'm not excited. I'm saying that I don't think this is the coach that will get him to the ship. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I think this is a coach that they need right now.
I think my argument for it is what he did in Oklahoma City, I think, is actually kind of remarkable in terms of Russell Westbrook, who is Raul's boy.
Russell Westbrook.
I mean, Russell's a great stat guy, but he's proven time and time again he can't win, man. He's not a winner. And then, you know, he did what he could with him. But I think this year was by far Donovan's best coaching job. Taking a team that was your best three players are all under 6'4", and you got him to a game seven.
I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a wonderful job.
He did.
Okay.
And so, I mean, all right, if I hypothetically say if Donovan stayed in Oklahoma City and took this nucleus of what they had, what do you think they could have done next year?
Don't forget, they still have all those draft picks.
You could have flipped draft picks for something really good.
Exactly.
In theory.
And Donovan wanted to leave because Oklahoma City wants to rebuild. That's apparently why he left. So, allegedly. If that's the case, though, I mean, you know, I don't blame him. But still, though, like Raul said, like all those draft picks, you turn into a competitive team, Billy Donovan can take that team, I think, to a conference final at the very least. I don't know.
In the West?
Why not?
Are you kidding me right now?
No.
Clippers, Lakers,
Nuggets. He's taken the Thunder to the conference finals before.
With different pieces.
And
completely different pieces.
And was up 3-1.
Okay, that
against
does...
Golden State.
Oh, good.
I mean...
Do you think he will get the Bulls a ship?
Bam. That's a tough
Adebayo.
Question. That's a tough question.
All right.
Okay, so what's your point?
I mean, you can't prognosticate what's going to happen in 5 years, man. But you're like you said right
what's
now.
What's your goal as an organization?
Like you said right now, he is great for the development of this team.
Yes.
He is great at developing players and creating a culture around a team where there's a lot of positivity and a lot of hard work that they implore. Clearly, Oklahoma City, who wasn't supposed to make the playoffs this year, was a 5 seed. And that's the proof right there. And I think he can do the same thing in Chicago. If you take the pieces that the Bulls have, there's no reason why they shouldn't be competitive in 3 years as at least a top 3 seed in the East. I don't see any reason. I mean, Milwaukee if Giannis stays and Miami, and then you got the Bulls.
Honestly,
maybe Atlanta.
This is how I think of it. I'm going to be completely honest.
Be honest.
Completely honest.
Don't lie.
Don't lie to us, John.
Billy Donovan is not the greatest tactician in the league. He's not a great tactical coach. He's not the best X's and O's coach. In fact, outside of, you know, when they're coming out of timeouts, the plays that he runs when they come out of timeouts and late games, sometimes it's very questionable.
They're better than Jim Boylan.
Yes, yeah, completely.
Which one? But, the first one or the second one?
But nowadays,
first one.
What makes a great coach is so much more than X's and O's.
It's first one.
it's so much more than X's and O's. It's about a culture, building that culture there, building that winning mentality, and the biggest word that I haven't heard yet out of you guys, accountability.
Oh boy, he went there.
Billy Donovan will take all these guys and hold them accountable, and he will trust. He will give trust when it is earned to the people that prove themselves. Look at the guys that he turned around and that came through his franchise. As recently as Lugens Dort. Who is Lugens Dort? Nobody knows. Until he shows up in the playoffs and he's like, yo, like, we're going to have you guard James Harden throughout the whole series. And he contained him. He definitely contained James Harden.
Yeah.
Then you look at Jeremy Grant, a guy who came from Philly, who didn't really do anything other than play above the basket. He didn't have any other skills other than just play above the basket, get some boards, kind of block shots, but not great at it. He turned him into a professional, and he turned Jeremy Grant into a professional. Worked on his skill set, and now look at how he's helping the Denver Nuggets. Nerlens Noel came in there.
Yeah.
Terrible. Turned him into a quality JaVale McGee defender type.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis. Yeah. Domantas Sabonis, who I think, worst case scenario, you could turn Lauri Markkanen into Domantas Sabonis, I think. Worst case scenario, you could turn him into Danilo Gallinari.
Better shooter than Sabonis,
yeah,
usually.
But, you know,
worst rebounder.
Domantas Sabonis came in there, rookie year, and look at what happened. You know, like, they even before he was doing all those great things in Indiana, he was a trade piece. He they got for Paul George.
Yep.
And just to prove that kind of value, and that's what Billy Donovan can do for you. He can develop the players. He can build the culture. He can get a team together and get the team on the same page. And that's so, so important. Because now, as you're seeing in these playoffs, a lot of the games aren't won by X's and O's. They're won by heart and heroics. And if you have heart and you have confidence in your players and you instill confidence into your squad, that's what they're going to produce for you.
Right.
And that's going to go so far. So, and as far as can he take them to the finals and can he take them to the championship, I think I need to see more to make that decision.
At which point are you satisfied? 5 years from now, what do they have to do in order for you to be satisfied with the progress they will have made?
At least a conference final appearance.
I want to see them one season first, and then I can tell you for sure.
I think one conference final appearance, and I will be satisfied with Donovan within these 5 years.
I think that's doable, and I don't think that's unrealistic. I think that's completely doable, but you know, it's going to be on the organization to surround him with the right people, the right coaching staff. It's going to be on the organization to get him the right players, the right personnel, and it's going to take the players really buying in to what he has to say.
Not just that though. I think AK Kornosovis executive vice or president, whatever he is, whatever his titles, bringing him over was, I think, much bigger than Donovan, because Garpax is gone. The Bulls have a reputation to rebuild, and they are doing that by hiring Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan is not a coach that would have been hired under Garpax.
He's an outsider.
Exactly. But the Bulls spent money on him. And I think that says a lot to the rest of the NBA and to potential free agents that, oh, okay, the Bulls are maybe a place where they're getting respect now.
You know, I got to say, that's why for me, a conference finals appearance is not enough in 5 years. I'm going to take it one step further. I'm not going to take it all the way, but I need a finals appearance. And the last point you made is the reason why. I think the Bulls need to become
what they
players in the free agency market.
What they should have been for the last 20 years.
Yes. Exactly. How do you mess that up? I mean, the Eddie Robinson years are long gone. The Ron Mercer years are long gone. Like, really, you had two quality free agents that I can think of off the top of my head in the last 20 years. Three, if you count Ben Wallace. And I'm talking about Boozer and Pau Gasol.
Yep.
I can't think of anyone else, really.
Yep.
And all three of them were never really, like, upper echelon. None of them were ever top 10.
Dwayne Wade for that season,
No, but he's a shell really. Of himself.
And he was recruiting Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Which Garnick said on this show a long time ago.
So, yes, I did.
I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm for them to make the finals either, but I...
That's my expectation of them. I'm not talking about the realm of possibility.
What I will say, though, is the Oklahoma City Thunder this year, other than Chris Paul, he had no other all-stars on that team. There were definitely no MVPs on that team. And they should have won that Game 7 against Houston.
Yeah.
Steven Adams makes an easy dive to the basket. You have a way better look at the basket. Instead, he came to the ball like, all right, fine, whatever. They went up against two MVPs on the same team and two multiple All-Stars. that was supposed to be, the Rockets were one of the favorites since the beginning of the season. And he took a team like OKC that is super young and just inexperienced, and got them to gel in such a short time, and took on two MVPs and multiple All-Star appearances.
Yep.
And I think that's incredibly, underrated and underappreciated. I'll say that it's possible that they can make the finals, but then again, like, man, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, so much of it is out of your control. Are you going to have the right players? Are the players that even come in, do they have what it takes to really make a run at the finals? Because if you're going to expect the finals, man, the Tibbs Bulls didn't even make the finals.
Okay.
So are we saying that we're expecting more?
Yes.
You're saying that Billy Donovan's a better coach than Tibbs?
Yes.
No, not necessarily. Are you saying that?
I am saying that.
Okay.
But that's fine. I don't see why this is so shocking to you. He is a better coach than Tibbs. Tibbs didn't do much on offense, did he? He was all about defense.
Yeah, true.
So, whatever. They each have their strength. They each have their weaknesses. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I never said that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he's not going to take him all the way.
I just want us to kind of temper our expectations here, because there's so much.
It's 5 years out. I'll be 40 by the
time. I know, but you still have Brooklyn that hasn't even started their run yet. You still have a young Boston team that has a ton of time together still. You have a Miami Heat team that is just getting started too. Like, it's going to be a long and really hard road to expect the Bulls to make the finals within 5 years.
But
that's going to be really
excuses,
hard.
Man. Excuses. Like, don't build excuses into this.
I don't think it's an excuse. You just, like, it's not easy to make the finals, and just because you have the right coach or a superstar player doesn't mean that you automatically make the finals or that you should expect them to.
Well, here's part of the reason too, though, is that, like I had said before, free agency should be a major player for a major market like the Bulls, where you have actual competent executives and you have a competent coach on your roster
that's
already
all
right
it should
now.
Take. That's all it should take.
Honestly, that's
why New York never gets free agents, because they don't have that. They haven't had that.
Yep, there's no respect around the NBA from their players for New York, and there won't be until Jim Dolan makes major changes. The Reinsdorfs and really John Paxson was able to kind of humble himself and say, "I suck at this job, but get me out of here and hire competent people." John Paxson, we've hated you for a long time, but you did something that we have to thank you for, because you got the Bulls in a really positive trajectory looking up right now, I say.
Exactly. But the thing is, like, when you're talking about attracting free agents in order to make that great of a step, to make it to the finals, to literally be, like, a couple games away from winning a championship, you know, that you're literally talking about attracting so many players. It's
2 years ago, okay, the Los Angeles Lakers were the Bulls.
You have like five players, maybe five, that you could attract that will give you that instant, hey, we're going to go to the finals.
You can get Davis this year, in theory.
Yeah, I mean, Davis is one of them. But if we don't get him, then, like,
something similar next year. You can get Giannis next year, you know?
Is something similar going to be able to get us to
you
the
have
finals?
To,
I don't
you
know
obviously have
that.
To go for Giannis. Obviously, you have to go for Giannis.
The Bulls should be major players in free agency all of the time. They should be.
Yeah, I agree.
And but what had been holding them back was their executive.
Let me ask
for
you
years,
this. Raul, this is a question for you.
Okay.
How far out would you go for it to be ship or bust for this regime?
Because
that has to be your goal, right?
Honestly, I just want the Bulls to be competitive, like really competitive. If they're at the dance, like if it's like before, like when the Derrick Rose years, and we don't win, like, yeah, I'm going to be disappointed, but I don't think I'm going to look at it like we failed. I feel like the past couple years, I'm like, man, the Bulls suck. We're failures. But if we don't make the finals and we make the conference finals, or if we have just some kind of constant success, I'll be more or less happy with that. Because, like, look at how we're excited.
I'm not asking you at which point are you happy. I'm not.
At what point is a championship or bust? Probably none. Probably at no point, because you just don't know what's going to happen. Now if the East didn't have these four teams, or these three or four teams that are projected to really, really do well, and man, in the next 5 years, if you're going to pick who's going to have it, Toronto, Brooklyn, whatever, if they didn't have that, And then it was this situation, that I'd be like, yeah, it's championship or bust in 5 years. But the fact of the matter is that there's five other really good teams who've been working on it for a long time, and they're still young, and they have great coaches too, and they have probably better personnel than what we're going to have as far as starters or all-stars or former MVPs or whatever.
I don't know, Raul. I mean, I think every team has to want to win a championship.
Of course I want to win a championship.
But you're not even willing to put a timeline on it. Eddie, you.
8 years.
Okay.
Easily.
That's a long time.
I would say 8 years too, but I was thinking, isn't that too long? Like,
it is too long.
That's way too long of an answer than you're looking for. You're looking for me to say like 4 years or 5 years. But I'm not trying to say that in 5 years, because, man, there's a bunch of other people. Not only in the East, but also in the West.
All right. I think six or seven is reasonable.
I'd say eight, and here's why. Because players on their rookie contracts right now, Markkanen, Carter, White, and the number four pick that they have, they will be close to or at the end of their second contracts with the Bulls. And by then, they either should have been traded or have been developed into what they should be in the NBA. If they're competitive players, they are lottery picks, then the Bulls should be a lot better and should be competing for championships because they have freaking five lottery picks on their team.
I feel like there's a much
and
more.
And then like you're probably going to say, free agency has to play a major part where the Bulls have to complement these lottery picks or trade them. So if the front office is competent, which I'm assuming that they're going to be, then yes, within 8 years, they should have made major moves based on the picks that they have, and then they should have a roster that is ready to compete for a championship or has already competed for a championship. If they haven't done it by 8 years, these guys got to be gone. That's my opinion.
Yes. So if 8 years is acceptable to you, then I'm taking that.
I guess it's acceptable.
But if you're looking for a 4 or 5 year answer, then I'm like, I guess.
Well, I'm just thinking about it in terms of what did AK have to tell Jerry Reinsdorf at the interview, you know?
He probably gave him a 5 year plan at least.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then you have to show what your cards are by telling you what the goal is.
And yeah, and I'm sure being competitive, making the playoffs, being a consistent playoff team that at least has some potential to move up is definitely their goal within 5 years.
Again,
a conference final appearance I think is legitimate.
I think Jerry Reinsdorf could care less if Karnisovas promised a championship to him at all.
I think it's more Michael Reinsdorf at this point. So
either one. I don't think the Reinsdorfs care about championships.
They definitely do. They're spending money on Billy Donovan. They care a lot. They paid him the most they've ever paid any coach. Even more than the first Jim Boylan. So
no way.
Yeah, they did.
Can't wait till the third one.
So all right, last question about the Bulls. What is your prediction for next year? What happens to this team next year? What do you want to see? I personally can't wait for a Jim Boylan-less version of this team, which I've been waiting for the last year and a half, to see what Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen can do without the worst coach of all time.
I think the goal has to be the same as it was coming into this year.
Make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs. Obviously, they failed miserably. Landed on their face.
No.
Face planted, I should say. And as a result, everyone's gone. Except for the players. So, I'm pretty sure everyone's on a hot seat.
In terms of the players,
maybe you get a pass for Kobe. He's probably the only one. Zach, like you said, 2 years left.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the recent draft picks are kind of on the fence.
Yep.
Including Markkanen, which is unfortunate because he did show a lot of promise early on.
Yep.
But they boiling the shit out of him, which is...
It's an
awful thing to do.
The worst
to your own team.
The worst
thing. But neither here nor there. That's in the past. Let's let bygones be bygones. And let's give them a clean slate. I'm willing to do that. But the cost is get me to the finals in 5 years.
All right. Raul, what do you want to see this year?
You know what? Screw it. Yeah, I do want to see them have a championship run within 5 years.
Okay, but... All right.
For next year, I think it's possible that they can be the sixth seed.
Okay.
But it's going to be tough because they don't got a lot of offseason to work with. And they got to...
Again, with this whole COVID thing, we don't know when the season's going to start.
Exactly. So there's going to be that whole factor of it. But at its core, at what I know that Billy Donovan can do, I think that it's... I think they can make the sixth seed. And I think, I'm super excited to see what kind of player Markkanen turns into, what kind of player Carter turns into, and what kind of player LaVine and Kobe White turn into.
It's crazy that it's like this Bulls team had to be, we have to stall their we had to stall their progression.
It was a waste of time.
It was such a waste of time.
2 years was just wasted time.
Because for no reason that Jim Boylan was there.
The frustration is palpable.
It really is, though. It is, man.
What was the point of that?
Because John Paxson and Gar Forman didn't want to be wrong. That's all it was. Is that they fired Hoiberg because they thought they didn't want to be wrong about Thibodeau. Firing Thibodeau because the Bulls are winning. They had to be right about Hoiberg, but then they're like, oh, we have no spirit, so we got to get Boylan in here because he's Hoiberg's right-hand man. And Boylan's got to be right because he has more spirit. And Boylan was a clown, an idiot.
Yeah.
And it was...
Such a waste.
It was an ego trip. All it was an ego trip, literally. It was a year and a half of a huge ego trip from Gar Forman not admitting that he was an idiot. And then...
It's been more than a year and a half of that, though.
You could mark it back to Hoiberg coming in and Thibodeau being fired.
Yeah, that was really the... That was the beginning of the end right there.
Yeah,
it wasn't even the Rose trade because you could kind of make sense of the Rose trade.
Mm-hmm.
But Hoiberg was the beginning of the end. Though it kind of happened simultaneously.
For sure.
Think about, like, man, how much better are the Bulls going to be? Just, man, on both ends of the floor. But defensively, OKC has been top 10 in defense.
Forever.
Every year that Billy Donovan's been in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Top 10 in defense in the league.
Yeah.
This team's defensive Thibodeau DNA is all gone.
Well, no, of course, but
he can make those players. Like, that's what Donovan does. Again against Dort.
Accountability, though.
Yeah,
accountability.
You're going to get these guys to buy in, and they're going to play good team defense.
And if they don't, and like Garnick said, if they don't, these players are gone. And probably their reputation around the league will take a big hit, too.
Yeah,
I think all
sure.
the players have to know that.
Do you guys realize that if the Heat and the Lakers meet in the finals, the three alphas will reunite?
Oh, baby. Not really. I mean, Wade, kind of.
Bingo.
Kind of Wade.
I'll take kind of.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets. He's obviously not playing.
The two alphas will reunite, and they'll
Okay, but the third is right there. He's in the building.
In spirit.
He's in the building.
No, he's not.
Kind of.
Only in the bubble.
In the metaphorical building.
And I just want to say, man, please get rid of Otto Porter. Please get rid of the garbage that we have on the team. Please.
All right, one question. One question for both of you.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Good. Okay. What's up?
Do you see any big moves this offseason? Any other?
From the Bulls?
Yes.
Going after Anthony Davis. They're going to make a big pitch for him.
You really think that's going to happen?
Yeah, they're going to try. They're going to try their ass off to get Davis home.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to try really hard.
Yeah, for sure.
But
if the Lakers win a championship, obviously he'll be inclined to stay, but he could pull the Kawhi route and just go home.
I
don't know.
Man, I wouldn't even mind if John mentioned this, but I wouldn't mind if they got Chris Paul in there.
I would mind that.
I don't think Chris Paul is a good fit for the Bulls.
Hmm?
Not.
I disagree with you. I think he would be a great fit, but I still don't think it's a good idea to bring him in because you're one alphaing this team in a way, you know?
Yeah, I think it also depends on what happens.
Not really.
I think it depends what happens with the fourth pick. If Ball falls to the Bulls and they take him, you can't bring Chris Paul in here with Levine, White, and Paul here.
No, yeah. No, I think they're going to try to trade. I think they're going to try to trade their fourth pick. They're going to try to do anything. I think they're going to try to make a splash in the offseason. For sure they're going to go for Anthony Davis. Man, as long as they stay away from trying to get Paul George or...
No.
You know, like... but if they don't get Anthony Davis, then I would like to see them go for a pass-first kind of point guard. That's just me.
All right.
I think realistically, they can probably go after my boy FVV.
FVV?
Ooh.
But
Fred Van
Fleet. I like it.
Fred Van Fleet for all you people.
All you people. Fred Van Vleet. All you people.
All the people.
All the people.
I think that's the realistic scenario.
And perhaps even optimistic. But... I can see them going after Davis. I just don't see Davis leaving LA under any circumstances at this point. If he's in the finals in his first year with the Lakers...
Yeah, they're going to want to run that back.
Yeah, for sure. Under normal circumstances, semi-normal, I guess. I don't know what it's going to be like.
It's going to be so hard to leave LA, especially if you win the championship and you've been playing with LeBron the whole time.
What's our draw?
Hey... You could play with Zach LaVine.
Hey,
LeBron.
We don't have wildfires. Maybe that will be it.
Yeah, I guess.
You can come home and get shot at.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
Nice job, hot shots.
Thanks. Oh, I have the mask on. That's right. I was looking at my shirt. All right. Let's
Thunder thighs.
Thunder thighs. That's right. All right. Let's wrap up. Great show tonight. Great first show back. Final thoughts, everybody. What do you got, man?
Arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor.
Okay. I think they got dismissed of their charges, didn't they? But
doesn't matter.
Do you want to get into a political conversation on from Cadets of Laos?
Not really, but all right. That's all I'm going to say. All
right. Then we won't. All right. Raul, you got anything, man?
As promised, my picks for Miami-Boston.
All right. What do you got, man? Tell us.
All right. So here's what you guys want to do if you want to make money.
But $30 on overtime.
All right. So I'm going to go Boston to cover the spread. The spread is -3.5. I think Boston's going to come out, and I think they're going to take this next game. They're not gonna let themselves get gentlemanly swept.
Okay.
So expect Tatum to and the rest of the guys to really pull it out. So I got Boston covering the spread, and then you got over under 212.5.
What was it today? 212.
214.5 for the Lakers.
No, but the actual score was 212.
114
right?
to 108. No, it's the 122.
Yeah, 222. Be in room.
So, you know what? I'm going to take the over here. I'm probably going to do a money line on the Boston Celtics.
You realize Lakers are at home, right?
I'm going to go money line on the Boston Celtics because I think they're going to win anyway. I don't think you need the points. And then go ahead and go on the over for 212.5. You heard it here first.
Thanks, Raul, for the betting tips. Raul,
get in your bets. Win some money. Let's go. Billy Donovan. Billy D.
BD.
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 No one's ever called him BD before. I promise you that.
Yeah, only his friends in the know, like me.
He's from New York. That's probably a New York nickname.
Yeah.
Eddie, can you give us your best New York accent? Through the mask. Through the mask.
A New York accent. So that's not the harbor like the Boston. No, it's Boston, right?
Nice.
What's New York?
This cock boy is stalling.
Hey, this cock boy here. How's that for New York? Yeah.
Sure, why not? Okay, right. We're done.
All right, my final thought. The NBA and the NHL, I think, have proved the blueprint of how to go about like collegiate and high school and youth sports going forward, at least until this pandemic's done. I think that's really good that that hopefully we'll be able to have like sports going forward, like, you know, after the NBA ends this in the 2 weeks or whatever it is. So I think just kind of playing 4 or 5 teams for this year, making sure that everyone's like, you know, test negative for COVID and stuff for all collegiate high school and youth sports really, I think, is the way to go. That's my final thought, man. I think that's what we're going to have to do for at least this next year or so. Maybe for a couple of years. It depends on what happens, but yeah, man.
Are you taking a vaccine?
I don't know. I'm pretty anti-vax as it is.
You are?
No.
Be on the lookout for...
Are you QAnon?
For Billy Donovan's new restaurant venture. It's a Mongolian barbecue spot.
Oh, God, you are terrible.
Wait, I don't get it.
BD's Mongolian Barbecue.
It's the actual place.
Oh, okay.
It already exists. You're terrible. I think one's in Naperville. Anyway, thanks for joining Contessa Lifts tonight. First time we've been on here for 7 months. We're rusty. It's all good, man. Remember, you can find us in my private stash.
It's next to your porn folder.
You can find us in any adult shop.
Okay. Lion Den.
Lion's Den.
Lionsden.com.
Make sure you wear a mask before you go inside.
Make sure you wear a mask while listening to this episode. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Hasta luego. Yeah!